6 minutes after the hour of 12 noon, Thursday, April 28, 2022. Dave Prieger with you on the Power Hour. Thank you so much for joining us in this segment. Homeschoolers, homeschool moms, bully for you and what you're doing out there, furthering your child's education and truth, justice in the American way. Oh, my goodness. You know, I tell you what, if last hour was any indication about how pissed off people are about 9/11 and being lied to, this hour is going to be even better. No different, but even better than last hour, because we've got Andy Steele with us. He's the operations manager at AE 9/11 Truth, as well as being the host of a weekly podcast, 9/11 Freefall, and creator of a 383-page book called Born on 9/11. I'll tell you what, when I got a password so I could go read it online, the whole thing is like a comic book, and I'm like, whoa. You know, stunning graphic novel, Born on 9/11, unlike anything ever produced. I would agree with that. And in the book, he's talking about what brought down the three World Trade Center towers on 9/11. And I guess it took you like 4 years in the making to get this done. I mean, there is a lot because of the fact it's done up like a comic book with these characters. I mean, I was just totally blown away when I opened it up. I go, wait a minute, all 383 pages of this is cartoon characters. Whoa. You know, and of course, it's a fictional story of a person who was born the same day as his father, a firefighter, died at WTC. And the thing is you got to set the scenario out there, and I'm just kind of giving you the take because this is the first time I read it. I'm going, okay, how can somebody make a narrative like this out of 9/11? Well, you know, when you understand where Andy Steele is coming from, a lot of this makes sense because a lot of people have tried to come forward, get stifled. And Andy does not want to be like one of those people. Welcome to the show, sir. You're not being stifled here. That's for damn sure.
No, thank God for the internet and for shows like yours. I mean, if we didn't have the internet back when it was available and you had all the user-created content, I mean, we'd be talking about what somebody saw of Building 7 on the day of, but probably have no videos available to anyone. So thank God for all of the great people that have come forward over the years, who have given a significant amount of their time and energy into this important effort. And I don't care how many years pass, 9/11 is still affecting our lives. There are people who got sick from the toxins that were in the air. They're at ground zero on that day. And that is a direct consequence of the buildings coming down, of the controlled demolitions, which we can get into some of the evidence of later. So for them, 9/11 is happening a little bit each day, and those are the people that we do it for, as well as the people who died on the day and the people who, of course, were injured and died in the wars that followed. So this is still a very important issue, and I'm glad that there's so many people out there like yourself who are keeping the fires warm on this, because I have no doubt in the end we're going to get an acknowledgement of what really happened.
Well, now, did you happen to see the 9/11 Pentagon strike video that was produced by Darren that contains a lot of quotes from the ASCE?
Regarding the Pentagon, no, I have not seen that video. I mean, we focus only on the three buildings that fell in New York on that day. And so when you're focusing on that, there's so much material there. You know, we kind of myopically zeroed in on that. We are aware of other issues with September 11th. But when you look at World Trade Center 7, just start with that. This building falls straight down, symmetric, pretty much into its own footprint. You don't even have to be an engineer to know there's something wrong there, because most fires, when they catch in a steel-framed high-rise, they will burn like a torch in the night. And eventually, you know, pieces of it might fall here and there, but the skeleton still remains standing. And there's several examples cited in our videos of this. But now for the first time ever in history, three times in one day, we have structures, steel frame structures falling completely just because of random office fires. And that's what NIST says happened. The layman will say, well, you know, the Twin Towers were struck by airplanes. Well, we can debunk some of those reasons, some of that reasoning later on. But with World Trade Center 7, that was not hit by an airplane.
Yep.
It still fell straight down. So right there, immediately, it looks like a controlled demolition. And then when you dive into NIST's explanation for why this building came down and some of the problems with it and some of the problems with their report, they basically just left out parts of the building. It's the simplest way to say it. They left out parts of their building just to make their hypothesis plausible. That's not science. So we did not get a real investigation from NIST. We got a cover-up. We got a lot of verbiage and a thick volume, but no real answers. And that's why right now we're taking them to court.
Well, Andy, the thing is, a lot of people don't know what NIST is. Those who are joining us that are like homeschoolers and stuff that weren't around when 9/11 happened. But their moms and dads were, and they're very, very cognizant of the potential. Like, you know, what happened with my wife lost her job. I was stranded, had to drive 12 hours back to San Antonio in a car and drive through military checkpoints that were set up at the time. So, you know, when you're doing stuff like this and you're involved in stuff like this and you know about WTC 7, my biggest thing was the BBC reported it 30 minutes before it actually collapsed. You are aware of that, right?
Oh, absolutely. And let me just clarify for your audience, because I tend to forget that there's people who are embroiled in this every single day. National Institute of Standards and Technology. That's what NIST stands for. So right. That is what the government tasked. It's an agency of the Department of Commerce. They tasked them to investigate why these three buildings came down. Regarding the BBC, oh, I remember when that broke. Yeah, Jane Stanley. They go right to the scene there. The woman is standing reporting that World Trade Center 7 had already collapsed, yet the building is still standing there in the background behind her. And then before it actually did collapse, they lose the feed. You know, they have a problem with the connection there, and we don't actually see it collapse behind her, probably because it would be a little embarrassing to see it come down behind her after she reported that it already happened. I believe CNN also had reported earlier in the day that the building had come down. So let's think about this. We have an unprecedented event. I mean, it's never happened before, right? Yet we have all these predictions that it is going to happen, even though there was no good reason for believing that it should. In fact, NIST's explanation, and let me try to boil this down, is they want to say that these beams framing into a girder got so hot, they thermally expanded. That just means they got hot and grew out, and they pushed the girder off of its seat, and then it landed on the floors below, and it created this whole series of events inside the building, causing the interior to fall, and then the exterior to come down after it. Now, everybody is out on the street on the day of September 11th. This event is happening internally. Supposedly there's nobody inside. So not only are they predicting an unprecedented event with amazing accuracy, there was somebody who said, you know, in 5 hours it'll collapse, and then 5 hours later it did collapse. So that is some great predictions there. But, you know, we've got this internal event, and then it doesn't make any sense, though, when you actually lay it out to the public and to scientists. First of all, you can't have the interior of a building fall without showing signs on the outside. We don't even have significant window breakage as it's coming down, okay? The outside of the building is attached to the inside, and that is all you really need to know. So it can't all just fall in that particular manner, okay? You would have seen this on the outside. But also, when NIST did their reports, they relied on computer model science. Now, you can make anything happen with computer models that you want. But actually, strangely, their computer models betray their own explanation, because when you do a side-by-side comparison of what really happened with World Trade Center 7 and their computer models, which don't go through the entire collapse scenario, by the way, just goes up to the point of collapse initiation, because what happens in their model is that it starts to twist on itself, crinkle, like a soda can. So, of course, they stop the animation at that point, and it looks nothing like what we really saw, but it also betrays their own explanation. NIST is arguing right now, trying to get their lawsuit against them thrown out of court. They're trying to say, well, all we really needed to do was issue a report. And this is, they're indirectly saying, well, it doesn't have to be accurate. They just had to put out a report. Well, that's not science, and that is not accountability to the American people.
Wow, Andy, that almost sounds like the 220 million people that got the jab. You know, they believed everything the CDC, the FDA, and the NIH told them. I mean, this is the same thing. It's establishing cognitive dissonance, put them in such a state of confusion, they're so dumbed down, they'll believe anything the government tells them. And that's exactly just a repeat performance of 9/11.
Well, yeah, I mean, if 9/11 has taught me anything, that it is that we need to have more than healthy skepticism of what they tell us on the television, what they tell us coming from Washington, D.C. When you look at the case of September 11th, you know, they give you all of the science-y sounding stuff, They give you these very thick volumes. They send somebody on television in a nice suit to give you an explanation. And a lot of this goes over people's heads. But when you actually boil it down and get into the nitty-gritty of their reports, you see how backwards it is. You see exactly where the flaws are. I mean, again, I mentioned this before, but they left out critical features of Building 7's design when they were doing this. They omitted the presence of the stiffener plates and the shear studs. This would have countered the thermal expansion and prevented the girder walk-off. Now, you know, to the average person sitting on the outside, you're like, so what? Well, these are significant things. When our engineers got their teeth into this, they said, this is preposterous. You can't just omit these things. It makes a big difference in terms of how the outcome happens. And, you know, by leaving out the shear studs, this allowed NIST to pretend that the beams were moving independently of the floor slab above them. That's super important. But NIST refuses to take this into account, to rerun the analysis and give us a revised report on this. And so, I mean, they got measurements wrong when they did this. So we sent a request for correction. They basically dismissed it and didn't really even refute any of our points. That's why we're taking them to court right now. And there's so many things, though, that the average person can just seize on when you do just a quick internet search. I mean, their entire collapse scenario, it depends on raging fires happening around this column number 79 in the building, right? But when you take a look at photographs that were taken up to an hour before this building came down, the fires are out. All right, you can't have thermally expanding beams unless you have raging fires. But here you have photographic evidence showing that the fires are out. So right then and there, you it completely justifies redoing this, doing a new investigation. And that is all we are asking for. Now, I'm convinced it was controlled demolition. I've seen enough. I do this every day. I know what it is. But if I want to step back and let a newcomer, you know, step in and say, you know, why do we need to look into this again? Well, I mean, if we've proven these issues with the original NIST report, if there's information that's wrong, if there's evidence that they overlooked willfully, it at least justifies a new investigation. And that is all we are asking for. Considering that 3,000 people died on September 11th, and people are still feeling the effects of it to this day, as I said at the beginning of this show, what harm is there in simply rerunning this analysis? We have a team where we had a team in Copenhagen led by Dr. Niels Harrit, very prominent chemist professor. He's retired now. But they analyzed the dust from the World Trade Center catastrophe, and what they found was these little iron microspheres in them, and they are a byproduct of a thermitic reaction. And they found these little red-gray chips. And, you know, the other side wants to say that it's primer paint, right? Well, when you do ignition tests on these red-gray chips, they do exactly what thermite does. They ignite, and they form these little iron microspheres, while regular primer paint just sort of wilts and cracks and turns black. And these iron microspheres were so prominent in the World Trade Center dust that other studies noted them. They actually used these iron microspheres to differentiate World Trade Center dust from what they call background dust, which is dust that had nothing to do with the World Trade Center. So we got a problem here. Now, when you ask NIST, hey, did you test the dust samples for explosives or incendiaries just to rule it out? And they say, no, we did not. And if you press them a little further, because you got to kind of do that with NIST, you got to ask more questions. They don't volunteer much. Then they'll say, you know, well, we didn't need to do this because we didn't expect to find anything. Well, what kind of reasoning is this? We don't expect to find anything, so we're not going to look for it. Well, how do you look for something if you don't find it? Now, we have this team out in Denmark, and it wasn't just in Denmark. There were people involved in the United States and everything, too. But, you know, you have this other team that is finding this stuff, so why not go back to the laboratory and run these same tests and either debunk it or, you know, give your thumbs up and say, yeah, there's something valid here. But they refuse to even touch it. This is not science. We also have a report out of the University of Alaska Fairbanks that concluded that NIST's story is impossible. All right, so now we've got two conflicting reports. Now, the University of Alaska Fairbanks is a pretty reputable engineering university, and this should be front page news all over the New York Times everywhere, but unfortunately, you know, the media coverage that we got on it was back page at best. So we need the help of everyone out there, you know, getting the word out about this. This is completely refutes the NIST report and is complete justification for Congress to issue an order for a new investigation. And that's all we're looking for.
I understand that, Andy. The thing is, though, you're talking about the University of Alaska. You're talking about an area that is prone to earthquakes, which is one of the reasons probably why they're looking for ways to make buildings earthquake resistant, and they have a key interest, or would have a key interest, in something like this as to what shocked what rocked this building and what caused it to come down. And it, you know, the thing is the architects and engineers for 9/11 truth. What I'm wondering to date, and I know you got a number up there in your head, how many of those architects and engineers, starting from Richard Gage and moving on forward, what are we looking at the count that all say this was a controlled demolition in all three instances? What are the numbers like?
Well, our petition reflects a call to Congress to reinvestigate it, which means that they have doubts. We have 3,500.
That's the number I was looking for.
Exactly. Now, you know, the other side will say, oh, 3,500, there's, what is it now, 6 billion or 7 billion people in the world, and they'll say there's so many architects and engineers, and so you've only got 3,500, it means nothing. Actually, considering the obstacles that we go up against, the brick walls from media, government, the fact that we are getting no help from any of those sources, I think it's a pretty darn good number. And if we did have the same kind of help that other more government-friendly issues have, that number would be in the, oh, God, I don't even, millions probably, if they actually had a chance to look at the evidence. So that is where we come in. We do our best. We are, you know, contacting members of organizations, professional organizations for engineers, and we're giving presentations to them. And most of the time, when you go into these presentations, or when our engineers do, by a show of hands, at the end of the presentation, nearly everyone is convinced that there is something here, that there is some real evidence, and we need a new investigation. So the problem is that not enough architects and engineers are being given this evidence. A lot of them don't even know about this third tower, Building 7, that fell on that day. Now think about that. This is an unprecedented event, something that if NIST were correct, should be studied till the end of time, should be in basic 101 engineering courses when people go to university, and most people are not even hearing about it. They just sweep it right under the rug. So where we come in is we talk about it. We talk about the University of Alaska report. We talk about all this overwhelming evidence of controlled demolition, and we are usually able to convince people. But we need the help, and we need the grassroots support out there publicizing our efforts and telling them, you know, telling the institutions and media, whoever they want to reach out to, that this evidence actually exists and should be taken seriously.
So the thing about WTC-7, and this is something that, of course, the back channels that I was talking to at the time it happened said something about, well, it looks like all the gold that was in WTC-7 magically disappeared and was nowhere to be found when they were cleaning up the wreckage. Have you heard stuff like that?
I don't know much about that issue, to be honest with you. I may have heard some references to that, but I don't know the validity, so I can't comment on that. We just focus focus on what we can prove, and that annoys the heck out of our adversaries because they try to get us diverted into other topics, other issues, ask questions, saying, oh, you think the government did it and all this stuff, and we just stay focused.
You're a conspiracy theorist, yeah, I know.
You know, I just say in the case of the Twin Towers, now, we haven't even touched that yet, but, you know, the top part of the building can't crush the lower part without slowing down. Man, that annoys them because that is such an unquestionable fact, and they don't like it when you stick to that. So that is what we do, and that is why now they have to resort to just outright censorship and stonewalling and trying to pretend that we don't exist. But that doesn't seem to be working because now we're taking them to court.
Now, let me ask you this about the lawsuit in particular. And folks, 844-769-2944. I know there are a lot of you out there that are not suffering from cognitive dissonance. You've been searching for the truth forever and a day. And yes, we will have Richard Gage on the program in September. Apparently, we always do. This will be the first time I've talked to him. But of course, you know, this is something that is in the book that Andy Steele just drafted in kind of a quasi-fictional story. You know, when I started to see the real people's names pop up, Andy, I'm just like, no, wait a minute. This is not all fictional. There are some fact-based actual characters written into the book, not just the fact that, you know, this 18-year-old kid or nearing 18 is like, okay, and they want to try to get the word out there, and even their own school principal is beating on them. You know, when you're looking at stuff like this, I mean, it spells out not just the cognitive dissonance of people who refuse to believe that their government could be complicit in this, but it also has a lot to do with the fact that there is still doubt in the minds of many Americans that this was not just simply a terrorist attack. I think it was all done as a false flag to draw us into a major war in the Middle East to destabilize. It's obvious after what happened in Iraq when they killed Saddam Hussein, all of a sudden there was a political vacuum, and now things are worse off than they were before we went in there. I think it was intentional. That's what they wanted to do. It was all part of the New World Order gobbledygook. Now, folks, 844-769-2944 is the number to call, and we are going to be taking a short break here in 1 minute to take care of some commercial content. We want you to stay on the phone, but we also know you have questions out there, because a lot of these issues with 9/11 are very troubling. And if you have legitimate questions for Andy Steele, as operations manager for AE 9/11 Truth, he has been on the front line of this stuff ever since 9/11 happened, I am sure. And he's been an outspoken advocate for the new 9/11 investigation. I want to find out about this lawsuit. Where are we before we go to break?
Regarding the lawsuit, I mean, it's still going on in court. The problem with lawsuits is there's some very exciting developments, but they happen very slowly. So NIST is trying to get the whole thing thrown out, and we are appealing that. And so there is a intellectual fight going on, and as soon as we know more and the outcome of that, we'll be reporting that to our supporters. So if you're out there and you support us, sign up for the emails, because that's how we communicate with you.
For sure. All right, we will be back after the short break to take your phone calls and more conversations with Andy Steele, AE911 Truth. Stay with us.
We've all heard about antibiotics, but what about probiotics? Antibiotic means against life. Probiotic means pro-life. Antibiotics kill bacteria that are infectious and harmful to the body. They also kill the good bacteria, though, that are necessary for good health. Probiotics from Living Streams replaces the healthy balance of friendly bacteria and normalizes the digestive tract. Gastritis, ulcers, diarrheal disease is just a few of the problems people develop when the intestinal flora is out of balance. Living Streams probiotics create the healthy balance needed for good digestion, suppresses growth of pathogenic bacteria, and actually increases resistance to infection. Call the Power Hour, 877-817-9829. Order your Living Stream probiotics today. They're available in 2, 4, and 8-ounce bottles, and Living Streams probiotics comes with a money-back guarantee. Get your body back in balance with Living Streams probiotics today. 877-817-9829. That's 877-817-9829. Living Streams probiotics. Everyone should be pro-life.
The Power Hour has been in existence since the turn of the 21st century. It is more critical than ever for you to sign up for our free newsletter and our breaking news. Simply text the word Power Hour to 22828 on your mobile phone, or sign up when you visit thepowerhour.com. Our website again is thepowerhour.com, or text Power Hour to 22828. Together, our legacy will live on for centuries.
Hi, this is Catherine at the Power Hour. The Power Mall began when Joyce Riley discovered an all-natural soap that heals skin issues and can replace your bathing, laundry, and household cleaning products. That soap is Miracle 2 and is made from natural minerals and coconut extract with no added fragrances or colors, and is naturally concentrated and biodegradable. I guarantee after you discover how amazing Miracle 2 products are, you'll recommend them to everyone you know. To order, call 877-817-9829 or visit thepowermall.com today. You'll learn why so many people say, it's not just soap, it's a miracle.
I don't know where to start. There's so many products you guys offer. I think one of the first things I ever ordered from you guys was your clay. The clay is miraculous. I could not do without that. And the charcoal, you know, you can get yourself in a bathtub to kind of help take the toxins out. So just those two alone, but I could go on to the Optivita silver lozenges. Of course, then the Oregaresp and the P73, the oil of oregano, and your Vitamir toothpaste. Again, I could go on and on and on.
Call Jay at thepowermall.com and receive superior customer service. Call 1-877-817-9829 right now. That number again is 1-877-817-9829. Support small businesses and buy from the good guys at thepowermall.com. That's thepowermall.com.
Minutes after the hour of 12 noon Central Time, Thursday, April 28, 2022. Dave Krieger with you here on the Power Hour. We thank you so much for joining us. We're in a real touchy subject here, and that is, you know, people that have cognitive dissonance are people that just basically are living in la-la land. I think most of our listeners know that. We have some of the smartest listeners on the show, and everybody, of course, is looking for answers. We've all been searching for answers, even those that weren't affected, that are suspicious of government, because something in the future of 9/11, the outside of part of 9/11, all of a sudden, when we talk about 9/11, everybody thinks that we were hit by a terrorist attack, and that's the way the media is trying to destroy America. That's all part of the game. They have a narrative they want to go after. And so, like we were talking with Andy Steele, he's still on the phone with us, and we're, you know, when we talk about these narratives that everybody is told, a NIST, you know, I really believe that NIST was told to do exactly this, like the Warren Commission and Kennedy. I think that whole thing from the outset was pre-planned. They knew what they were going to write. They didn't suspect. They didn't want anybody to suspect, because the more you start looking into the nefarious behaviors of our government, and it doesn't have to be, you know, this thing with COVID and the fact that they've hidden all the records and they're destroying records from Wuhan. It means nothing if you did not live through 9/11. And so people are always searching for the truth. And that's why we have Andy Steele here to answer your calls. 844-769-2944. We need to see the phones light up like they did in the first hour, folks. I know you got questions out there. It looks like from what everything that Andy's been discussing on the show here, that we're talking about the actual structural free fall, and this stuff, these towers just literally fallen over. It just doesn't make sense that they would fall over given what we know. And the media is rolling film on the towers, and all of a sudden they come down on top of it. Each one of them came down on top of itself. And I'm looking at this thing going, man, there is no way that the tower would do that. And Andy, I think you probably, you know, after talking to as many people as operations manager at AE 911 Truth, you probably, you know, concur that we've hit a real nerve with a lot of people.
Oh, it's a very, you know, a very passionate issue for many people on both sides. Now, the good news that I've seen from the people on the opposite side of us, and I shouldn't even say opposite side, because there's a lot of people sort of in the middle. And the years that followed September 11th, people were still mentally closer to the event. As time passes, though, I'm seeing, this is my own observations, that people are being more open to this, saying that they'll look at the evidence, even acknowledging that, you know, there's something here and it's worthy of a new investigation. Because there's just so many problems with the NIST reports. And, you know, you're talking about hiding records and things like this. I mean, they won't even release the input data on their World Trade Center 7 models, their computer models, and they say that it would jeopardize public safety. Apparently they can get away with saying this, that it would somehow jeopardize public safety, releasing all the data they put into the...
This doesn't make sense because, I mean, you get discovery when you file a lawsuit. Obviously, you're asking for declaratory relief, and that entitles you to discovery, production of documents. That entitles you to admissions. That entitles you to interrogatories. Where did you get this information from? How did you compile this information? I mean, I can imagine with the minds that are involved in the preparation of the lawsuit, not just the attorneys, but the architects and engineers that they're relying on to bring forward a narrative that says, hey, this report is wrong. You people set this thing into motion without considering a multitude of factors because they don't want to get to the bottom of what really happened to WTC7, let alone the other two Twin Towers. They don't want anybody to start digging because once you uncover one thing and you find out there were explosives in that building that were put there to do a controlled or facilitate a controlled demolition, that, hey, well, what else is weird about this situation we need to look into? See, they're trying to nip this thing in the bud and keep you people from moving from point A to point B. I'm pretty sure about that. Patrice in Ohio, you were here in the last hour, but obviously we sparked some attention on your behalf. What say you?
What about the group of architects that banded together to try and disprove the whole charade to begin with? Is your guest associated with that group, or
that's exactly
him,
yes,
or?
Patrice, that's exactly who Andy Steele is representing. AE911
okay.
Truth. These are the architects and engineers that have banded together. They're ones bringing the lawsuit trying to get the National Institute of Standards and Technology to change their story. And that's, you know,
okay,
the sum and substance of why we had Andy on the show today.
Okay. I guess I never knew that from the beginning of the description of who the guest was. Thank God for them. I mean, I just can't believe this has gone on this long. Unbelievable.
Yeah, well, I say the same thing every morning. It's kind of a weird contradiction because I like taking these people on, but at the same time, the goal is to stop taking them on because we won. And I think we are going to win in the end. I think that people are getting so fed up out there with so many different things, and for every person it might be a different thing, but we're seeing the direct consequences of September 11th. And it's not just the wars that followed and all of the tragic stuff, but it's also just when you let a lie fester for this long, other ones come and the people become more distrustful. And I ultimately think that in the end, that is going to work in the favor of the truth. How much we're going to see kind of fall apart before then, I guess we'll wait to see that. But we're not going to quit. We're not going anywhere. You know, I'm going to keep on doing what I do, and it may sound like a broken record sometimes. I mean, you know, you got evidence points that I could go over verbatim. And you keep repeating them, but that's what the evidence is, and it doesn't change. You know, people talk about other aspects of 9/11, and they say, where was the Air Force? You know, did it stand down? I say, where was physics on that day? Who ordered the stand down of physics? And that's sort of my joking way of saying that NIST's explanation defies the laws of physics. Like I was saying, with the Twin Towers, you know, they want to say that this top block of these towers above the airplane impact area crushed the lower parts all the way down to the bottom while destroying itself before getting to the bottom. Well, we've got a problem there. First of all, this top block destroys itself in the first couple of seconds, so there's nothing left there to do the work of driving the building all the way down to the bottom. But even with that, there was a paper published by Tony Zambodi and Graham McQueen. Tony Zambodi is an engineer, mechanical engineer, and Graham McQueen is a professor in Canada. And what they noted, and they were able to measure this with physics software, is that there is no deceleration of this top block as it hits the lower portion. So think about this. When you strike a nail with a hammer, what happens to the hammer? Now, the hammer might drive the nail through the wood, right? But it's going to decelerate. It's going to slow down as it hits the nail. The only way that you can have this phenomenon that they are noting in their study is if you have explosives destroying the structure below. And in fact, when we watch the towers come down, we can see what we call squibs. These are visible explosions far below the collapse line, down at the bottom, going off in the buildings. They're mistimed. They're shooting out building materials. So you can see the explosions going off. And you know, something that just came to my attention too, and is that in at least one of the towers, you know, a lot of what NIST, their explanation for why these buildings went, why they came down, it relies on the fireproofing being knocked off by the airplanes, because they can't get away with their explanation if the fireproofing is still there. But at least one of the towers, the floor where they say the collapse initiated was only touched by the tip of the wing of the airplane. So it couldn't have knocked off all that fireproofing. So even though NIST does everything they can to obscure the issue, to hide data from us, just from what is publicly available, you can completely just debunk their entire explanation. It doesn't make any sense. And, of course, the extreme temperatures. We were talking about the nanothermite earlier. On the South Tower, you can actually see the molten steel coming out of the building. All right, it's falling right from the building. You can watch that video out on YouTube. Now, NIST wants to say it's molten aluminum from the airplane, but this metal is glowing orange, and molten aluminum is silver in daylight conditions. Doesn't matter. They put that out there hoping that it will stick. Of course, we don't let them get away with that, so we keep on beating the drum and talking about all of this all of the time. And, no, we're not going to stop. We're going to keep on going as long as it takes to get justice for all those people that died, because that's really what it's all for.
Andy, they must think that we're all stupid. I mean, that's what they must think. They must think. And I remember way back when this first happened, there were a handful of like 20 or 30 architects and engineers that literally, and you know this, came right out of the gate and said, nope, it didn't happen like that. These buildings collapsed in on themselves. And all of a sudden, these people, the government went after them with fever pitch.
Oh, they went after anyone that talked about this. I mean, you would see hit pieces. And I remember this. Now, I didn't wake up to this until, probably about 2006. And then I wasn't really ready to commit to it until about 07 or so. But I followed everything, because I was obviously very interested, and they would put out hit pieces where they would interview people that were in the 9/11 truth movement. They would stick the camera right in their face to make them look all sweaty and nervous, and then they would show some guy in a slick suit and office from Popular Mechanics. That's what they were relying on at the time. And it was basically a hit piece to try to persuade the public not to listen to people like myself or, you know, my counterparts at that time. And, it's just been nonstop ever since. And, you know, we've had to do things, you wouldn't believe just to try to get mainstream coverage. I mean, we had a campaign calling into C-SPAN, the Washington Journal show that plays every morning where they interview politicians and reporters, and we had people calling into the show every single day for a year and a half with specific questions about Building 7, and these politicians would do everything that they could to not answer this, to not address it, and the hosts would try to cover for them. It actually worked in our favor, though, because we did get mainstream coverage from that entire thing. It was sort of a deal that was worked out. But these are the kind of things that we have had to do just to keep this issue out in the public's mind. And I think we've done a really good job of that. And this is why it's so important that AE 9/11 Truth continues to exist. Even if we haven't gotten the acknowledgement yet from the mainstream of what really happened, we keep this thought alive in the minds of people like those in your audience right now, so that when new things come up, they remember that guy they heard on the radio talking about 9/11 and makes them more skeptical. And maybe that person out in your audience right now is working in a congressional office. They won't talk about their thoughts openly, but it might influence what they do every day. So that's why we got to keep on talking about our skepticism of official narratives and our doubts behind these stories that they give us, and just keep this effort alive, because I have no doubt we're influencing the world as we do so.
When did you take over as operations manager for AE 9/11 Truth?
I was a volunteer I was doing stuff independently for a while, and then I got hooked up with AE 9/11 Truth at an event and volunteered with them. I thought I was just going to do one thing, and it ended up being a passion, working with them. And then that was in 2010. And then in 2015, they hired me on as the operations manager, and I've been on the staff ever since.
And so basically, as far as this lawsuit goes, you had a lot of input in directing and putting this thing together and organizing and rallying the troops and getting everybody on board with what was going to go into this lawsuit that's been filed. Now, where was the suit filed? What jurisdiction?
Well, the person that is responsible for all of that, now I just bring the news to the audience, to the people that watch the podcast and run the operations here. The person who deserves the credit for that is Ted Walter. He is our director of strategy. I mean, it's an amazing team that we have here at AE 9/11 Truth. It's not all revolving around any single person. We've got Kelly David, our chief operating officer, Roland Engel, our CEO. These are amazing people, very serious-minded people who just work day and night. I mean, sometimes I'm getting texts from Ted, at 9 o'clock at night, and he's on the East Coast from me. I'm in the Pacific time zone. So these guys are working, burning the midnight oil, and they are the ones that are really a lot behind these efforts. And then I go out and publicize it, and sometimes I put them in graphic novels.
Yeah, which is what you did here. Now, AE911Truth, is that a .org?
Yeah, it's AE911Truth.org, and if you go to that website, you can see all of our stuff. You can see my book, Born on 9/11. It's right under the slider. That's where you can purchase the book. You can purchase other great things. You know, we just released an excellent film made by Dylan Avery, and Kelly David and Ted produced it as well. It's called The Unspeakable, and it doesn't really get into a lot of the science stuff. What it focuses on is the human story behind this tragedy. And when I talk about the tragedy, I'm not just talking about 9/11, but it's the cover-up of 9/11, the fact that we haven't gotten truth. It features the family members. Very dramatic, very powerful documentary that was released around the anniversary. So you can purchase that there, or you can go on Amazon Prime. We've got other films. We've got other outreach materials, Beyond Misinformation. Ted Walter wrote that. It is a comprehensive volume, and when I say volume, you think it's some big, thick book. It's actually, I don't even know, maybe 50 pages or so, but it just lays out all of the evidence like a textbook. Great reference for people that want to catch up with all of this information. And here's what's good about this is that, yeah, I mean, we can get into some complicated engineering stuff when we talk on interviews and such, but the average person can completely understand this. It's not that hard. It's not hard to understand the top part of a building can't crush the lower part without slowing down. It's not hard to understand that fire cannot bring down a steel frame high rise straight down and symmetric. These are things that we know intuitively. The only reason we doubt ourselves is because the TV comes, and the person on it tells us that we need to doubt ourselves. They tell us that we can't trust our own instincts when it comes to these things. So the average person can understand this. The average person can get this, and all the materials are available at our store for purchase and or download, and you can study up on it and be able to talk about the stuff yourself out there.
Well, and of course, we appreciate that, and I've been looking into the architects and engineers for 9/11 Truth for a long time, given the fact that, once you're in the news business, you're in it, and I'm still a card-carrying investigative journalist, and so when I look at this stuff and I see the narrative play out, obviously, NIST, like the NTSB and everybody else that's brought in to investigate plane crashes and all this other stuff, they stick with the narrative. You know, it's like TWA Flight 800 that I was talking about earlier, and they bring out FBI spokesperson, Kallstrom. You know, every time that there's an issue like this, Kallstrom's on camera because he, doesn't look like a professional liar. And that's exactly what you guys are facing, is the same thing. In my book, is that they just don't want you to know that, they don't want to admit, oh, well, there might have been squibs and, we didn't look at the video and we didn't realize that they had, vacated the place the night before and that they ordered everybody out of the building and that there were people that, were putting in all sorts of charges. And, literally, I am surprised how much evidence, physical evidence, is left over from 9/11 that you have access to or your engineers have been allowed to examine at this point, or even have we gotten that far?
Well, there's enough evidence to make this case. Like I said, for me personally, the case was made years ago. At the very least, your average person can say, hey, they should investigate it again. It's 9/11. Why not? There's enough evidence. I mean, in FEMA's 2002 report, they did the initial report. Then NIST kind of came in and threw that out and did their own report. But in Appendix C, they note this steel that has holes in it like Swiss cheese. That takes like 4,000 degree temperatures. That's basically evaporating the steel. What is creating this kind of temperature? Now, you have John Gross, who was one of the people from NIST who worked on their report. And he was questioned about this publicly, and he says, we've seen no evidence of these temperatures. And yet, in one of NIST's own pictures, he's posing next to some of this chemically damaged steel with a Swiss cheese appearance. So, I mean, I don't want to say people are incompetent. I don't believe that. I think that they deliberately ignored it. That's my own belief. That's my own speculation on that part. But basically, it's there. The evidence is there. All of the evidence is laid out. Right in their, even in their own reports, if you read between the lines, showing that there was more going on than what they're telling us. But the key is now, we've already made the scientific argument, we're dealing with a sociological issue. We're dealing with the fact that a lot of the media companies have doubled down on this official story over the years. And, you know, the more you double down on an official lie, the more you have to defend it. You have Congress has ignored it, done everything they can to stay away from this issue all of these years. And the longer it gets, the more they feel like they have to fight it. But the more foolish they look, too. And you can see that reflected. I mean, mainstream media is losing all of its credibility. CNN just tried to do a network, and some kind of streaming network called CNN Plus.
Yeah, it lasted 30 days.
Yeah, I mean, that fell at free fall acceleration. So, you know, they're not being successful. And now people see through it. The only benefit that mainstream media has is that if there's another event like a 9/11, they can put a camera on the street to watch it, for everyone to watch it. I believe most people would turn the sound off and listen to the Power Hour while they were watching those live images, because that's just where we are as a society now. More people don't trust government, and that is a good thing, and they shouldn't be. And it all begins with September 11th and everything that the 9/11 Truth Movement has brought to their attention. So we just got to keep on talking about it until we get satisfaction, which is an acknowledgement of what really happened.
So, folks, here's the thing. This is all about the structural aspect of what happened at the World Trade Center towers, right? This is all the other conspiracy theories or all the other little narratives or the twists and the turns and what happened to Flight 93 and 77. This basically what Andy Steele is doing is he is covering just the architectural and engineering aspects of what happened right after 9/11. And the thing is, there were a handful, and I remember this succinctly, of people that came out of the woodwork that were very outspoken. I know Richard Gage was one of them. And he jumped all over this thing and said, wait a minute, that's not the way this played out. I looked at the video over and over and over again. I did not see what they are saying actually happened. But see, the thing is the media was on the front end of this thing, as you were saying, Andy, and it's almost like they're calling play-by-play like they did when they went to Minneapolis and CNN was covering the riots and then burning the two police precincts. They're doing play-by-play out there, interviewing protesters. Oh, it's just a peaceful protest. See, they were setting the stage for the narrative, much like they did in 9/11. The same bloody thing, trying to get America to believe that narrative. I mean, isn't this what NIST is doing?
Well, and there's a line in my book by one of the characters, and I believe she says it about government, but you can apply this to the media as well, is they're not here to help us, they're here to handle us. So whatever the agenda is, and it can vary from time to time depending on management and who's in office and all of those factors, but basically their main job is to handle the American public. They're not here to help you, they're not here to inform you. That is my opinion. Not speaking for AE, but just speaking for myself. So taking that into account, I think that is something to remember when you're watching any kind of news report, and it makes you a wiser person and less subject to propaganda. Now, I watch everybody when I can. It's hard to keep track of every single world event happening, and I'm so focused on 9/11 that's pretty much what I care about now. But, you know, I watch the opposition. I watch both sides of any issue, and even if I don't agree with someone, I can see what angle they're trying to come at us with, or on some issue that I'm, you know, that I'm supportive of, and that's important to do. And as long as you remember that all these people are doing it through some kind of agenda, if it's on TV, it means somebody allowed you to see it. Then you can factor it all in and try to figure out what's really going on there. In the case of September 11th, which is what we focus on, there has been a just overwhelming and very obvious, almost embarrassingly obvious effort to just stifle anybody that has any doubts, any questions about this. I mean, to the point of almost seeming like a bizarre Kurt Vonnegut novel. I mean, you can't even believe this is real. If I was writing this as a fictional story, if I was writing America in the 20 years that followed 9/11 as a fictional story, I probably would have scrapped the project and said, this is too ridiculous. People aren't going to believe it. But here we are. Some of that might be changing, though. You know, I think a lot of people, and this is something to remember, too, is that people in the media, government, they're still people at the end of the day. And there's a lot of pressures on them, and, you know, a lot of them might succumb to those pressures, but over time they can be coerced and talked into changing their minds, and that's what we have to keep on doing. So we talk respectfully to the media, we talk respectfully to government, because that is what you just have to do, because ultimately that acknowledgement is going to have to come from government. Now, the great thing about government, because there's people who say, oh, you're looking for a new investigation from Congress, but they're part of the problem. Well, you can become the government. I mean, you have listeners out there right now who have, might have toyed with the idea of running for Congress. I say go out and do it. I mean, we've got so many tools available to us through the internet to reach so many people. And if, you know, if you acknowledge to yourself that you might not win, they might not let you win, but you can get into the debates. You can get your campaign message out there. You can talk about September 11th and all of the evidence at AE 9/11 Truth and try to work that into the entire story of the election. You will have an impact. And one of the things I tried to stress in Born on 9/11 is that sometimes we don't even see what the results of our actions are. Sometimes the impact we make doesn't happen, you know, with us as a witness to it. So you just got to have faith that you're making a difference out there. And I know we are. Everybody touches each other in different ways. I mean, somebody woke me up because I came across a randomly placed video about Building 7 on a cartooning video site. It doesn't exist anymore, I don't think, but somebody just placed it there. And it had nothing to do with the content there, but that's what woke me up. And I've done some things for AE 9/11 Truth. So you might be waking up somebody else that will have a big impact. So remember your power out there.
Yeah, for sure. Well, welcome. Once again, I'm glad that all of you had an opportunity to listen to Andy Steele this last hour. AE911Truth.org is his website. Thank you, sir, for joining us. And we are at the end of our segment. We will be back tomorrow. Dave Prieger with you on the Power Hour. God bless you, and God bless the United States of America.
All heard about antibiotics, but what about probiotics? Antibiotic means against life. Probiotic means pro-life. Antibiotics kill bacteria that are infectious and harmful to the body. They also kill the good bacteria, though, that are necessary for good health. Probiotics from Living Streams replaces the healthy balance of friendly bacteria and normalizes the digestive tract. Gastritis, ulcers, diarrheal disease is just a few of the problems people develop when the intestinal flora is out of balance. Living Streams probiotics create the healthy balance needed for good digestion, suppresses growth of pathogenic bacteria, and actually increases resistance to infection. Call the Power Hour, 877-817-9829. Order your Living Stream probiotics today. They're available in 2, 4, and 8-ounce bottles, and Living Streams probiotics comes with a money-back guarantee. Get your body back in balance with Living Streams probiotics today. 877-817-9829. That's 877-817-9829. Living Streams Probiotics. Everyone should be pro-life.
As you all know, everything begins with an idea. Ideas have helped shape the very world we live in. ThePowerMall.com began as an idea, allowing entrepreneurs and small business owners like yourself the opportunity to not only survive, but thrive in an era where corporations dominate. ThePowerMall.com is a small family-owned business who has partnered with companies you've come to rely on and trust over the years, like North American Urban Spice, Miracle 2 Soaps, Vitamir, Numana Food Storage, to name just a few. Fight back against large corporations when you buy from thepowermall.com. Need to speak to a real person? Call Jay at thepowermall.com and receive superior customer service. Call 1-877-817-9829 right now. That number again is 1-877-817-9829. Support small businesses and buy from the good guys at thepowermall.com. That's thepowermall.com.